Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. This week on the show, we're going to get all soft and fuzzy as we explore the world of the plush toy manufacturing. I'm Janet Eastman. Today, my guest is Marissa Louie. She's the founder and chief designer of Animoodles, a brand of plush toys that allow children to interchange parts to create their own unique plush toy. Marissa started her business in 2014. She's built two collections with six Animoodles each, as well as accessories. The toys are now in 70 stores across the United States, including Nordstrom. And Marissa has also been nominated as a rising star for the Women in Toys Wonder Woman 2019 Awards. So Marissa, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
I have been so excited to talk to you because we have never addressed the toy market on this show. So you've been a plush toy fan since you were a child, but your initial career was like as a website and app designer. So how did you actually make this turn and say, I'm making plush toys?
Well, I was born with a teddy bear literally by my side. So it's been a passion of mine since I was born, literally, with tons of animals around me. And so I grew up with my cousins and my mom and my siblings all playing with stuffed animals. And we collected hundreds of them. So I always noticed their details, their design details especially. And I almost like to think that the details of stuffed animals helped hone my aesthetic intuition, and that it helps encourage me and prime me to be a designer in the first place. And so after I worked as a designer at places like Apple and Yahoo, I wanted to turn back to my first and most true passion that I had since I was a baby.
So when did you actually create your first toy? Like, did you ever make one when you were a little kid?
I made crafts, and I actually begged my parents when I was probably around 10 years old to give me a teddy bear sewing kit. And I never got that sewing kit, but that would have probably been my first toy. I actually didn't make toys in the sense of something that I would hand to someone to play with until I was an adult. Until I made my very first handmade teddy bears in my 30s.
Okay, so when you did that, at that point, were you thinking, I'm going to start a business, or were you just making them because you wanted to give it a go?
I really started it as a hobby, and I wanted to indulge that passion of mine that I had since I was a baby, and I wanted to see if it could become something. So I actually had a line of stuffed animals that I had before Animoodles that were handmade. And I created it together with a few seamstresses who worked for me. And we sold those on Etsy and online. So that was my first foray into the toy industry. And it was more of a hobby. It was more of a casual thing just to see what it's like to do manufacturing on a very small scale with seamstresses who just worked out of their homes. And it was a lot of fun. And it also honed my intuition for what I thought would potentially become more of a success in the toy market.
Okay, so what was it that prompted you to, you know, let's take this from Etsy and let's actually move this into being like a big business? What was that thing that said, let's go for it?
Yeah, so I saw that I had some success with my very first collection of stuffed animals that was just meant to be a hobby. And I had people around the world purchasing them, and people who I didn't know.
That's
and,
cool.
And so that was exciting. And I said, yeah, that was cool. But I said, well, okay, well, that was just giving no thought to what could be a hit toy. What if I put in some thought into it? So I turned to my sketchbook and I sketched around 100 drawings for what could potentially be a stuffed animal invention. And what I noticed in several of my sketches was that I had hybrid animals. And I thought, okay, what if I took that one step further? And then one evening when I was at dinner with my husband, we were talking about what inventions we could come up with. And I visualized the parts of a stuffed animal coming apart and coming back together and being able to mix with each other, almost like they were dancing. and that was the first sort of step in that direction towards animoodles. And then my husband said, magnets, you should put magnets in them. And so we literally in one breath, in one sentence, came up with animoodle.
Wow. So was there any challenge? Like I'm thinking, okay, your toys, based on what I've seen, are for children. They can be really young children, but generally it's sort of advisable 2 to 3 years and up, right? So was there any challenge having a magnet in a toy for a child that young?
Yeah, so the magnets aren't actually the thing that require us to grade animoodles for ages 3+, but it's actually the long fur.
Okay.
So anything beyond a few millimeters is a choking hazard. So so if you see even on, you know, baby and infant plush, their eyes are also embroidered instead of having the plastic eyes. And so it's anything that kind of protrudes from surface or that is long that could potentially be a hazard for a child. Our magnets are actually encased inside of the toy, so they're sewn inside the toy. They're not visible, they're not having a contact with a surface directly, so they're inside three layers of protection inside the toy. So we actually went through many steps to make sure that the magnets don't come out, and we tested over 15 times over the minimum requirement for what our magnets had to do in order to be considered safe. So the minimum requirement for testing is that any two plush parts that have the magnets inside have to be able to be pulled apart 1,000 times. So what we did is we tested each limb 15,000 times, and it still didn't come apart. The sewing seams didn't come apart. Nothing fell out. The magnets didn't weaken. Nothing happened to the toy. It looked like brand new. So, you know, we're pretty confident about the safety of the toy, and we always go above and beyond to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the customer and that customers can confidently play with animoodles.
Okay, so I think probably at this point in time, it might be a good idea to explain just what an animoodle is. So if people are looking at plush toys, right, you need more than one animoodle if you want to sort of interchange body parts and whatnot. But the arms and legs come off and the head comes off, and you can interchange arms and, well, limbs and head from any other animoodle and create your own unique toy.
Exactly. And you can also stick an entire animoodle onto a refrigerator because there's a magnet on the back of the torso.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can do that. You can move the animoodle from sitting position to standing position because of that extra magnet. And you can make a six-headed creature because of the six magnet joints on a torso. You could make an animoodle that has parts from six different animals. And so it's a lot of fun, and it allows kids to not just imagine what an animal can be, but to actually create it on their own.
Yeah, it really does develop creativity. Okay. Now you talked about, when you're trying to make a product that is safe for young children, you talked about, you know, the length of fur, on the actual toy. So let's go back to when you started making these toys. How hard was it for you to source the right fabrics and materials?
So I spent over 6 months on fabrics and magnets and eyes alone, just, you know, researching, buying every single type of magnet possible, ranging from the very weak magnets that you might see in an elementary school, classroom, like in, you know, for the younger kids, ranging to what's called permanent magnets, which are so large and so strong that they're meant to never come off once you stick them to a magnetic surface. And so we tested all different types of shapes of magnets. And the same thing for furs. We looked at all types of furs ranging in what's called pile length, so how long the fur is, as well as different patterns, different levels of softness. Same thing for eyes. We did a whole exploration on eyes, and we, based on the materials that we could source, it helped us figure out what options we had for designing the characters that would become animoodles.
Now, where do you actually have your animoodles made?
So just north of Hong Kong, in a region of China that's just across the bay from Hong Kong, and is actually where my family originally is from. And the reason we looked there is because the quality of the craftsmanship, especially in southern China, is of the highest caliber. So it's not just to cut costs that were in China. Actually, there are many other countries that are cheaper to produce stuffed animals in than China. But because of the quality of the craftsmanship, and so the seamstresses that work at our factories have worked there an average of 12 years. So, you know, the average age is like 28. You know, you don't see anyone who even looks like they're 21 or younger, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then also China has had very strict policies for factories because they know that they've got a bad rap in the past. So they actually limit all factory workers to work a total of 40 hours per week across any number of factories. So you can't just go to one factory and work 40 hours and then go to another one, work 40 hours. You are limited. And they will actually shut down factories that violate that rule. Like they'll shut down factories that they, you know, suspect or they catch, you know, having someone who's underage working there. They are very strict. So it's come a long way since the days of Nike. And so because of all these changes, I felt confident. Also, the first factory that we worked with is women owned. And when I visited, you know, I could see that the workers are happy. The workers enjoy being around each other. The overwhelming majority of managers there were women. And so, so I felt comfortable in that as well. So we actually had no issues and really, you know, no questions when we came out to the toy industry and we said, hey, here's animoodles, here's where we're making them.
And I'm just thinking of this factory and it's all woman run and, or pretty much,
yes.
And it's all these women that are making these toys. And who are the ones that are usually playing with the small children with the plush toys? It's probably the woman. So they would probably really enjoy making your product.
Yes, they actually love it.
It would be a fun job.
it's a specialty plush. So for the right kind of seamstress of the right kind of level, it's a growing opportunity to say, hey, there's a new kind of stuffed animal. This is going to stretch my skill set and I'm going to be better off after I start making these, that, you know, I can make more and more complex things. And so at our factory, actually prestigious to work at them, and they're better than other factories in the area, meaning that, oh, if you work at this factory, it's, you know, great for your resume. And they also pay more than the other local factories because of that. So it's actually really nice to work at our factory.
This is the Make It Right podcast, and my guest has been Marissa Louie, the founder and chief designer of the plush toy collection, Animoodles. It's one thing to create a desirable product. It's a whole other achievement to create a truly interconnected collection that kids want. Next week on the show, we'll continue our conversation to look at the thought that's gone into the look of each of the characters and the crafting of their backstories and how Marissa has created a storyline that builds in new characters and collections. I hope you'll join us again then, next week on the Make It Right podcast.